Before we get into the Bible study on Zechariah 8, let's set the stage by first going to 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, and beginning in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, and in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We, of course, are living in difficult times, that's for sure. We do see what's going on in the world around us. We see the physical, and our confidence is truly in the future. And we always need to keep the future in mind. Zechariah 8 actually covers a topic that we would normally discuss during the fall holiday season, because it does focus on the future. But it's still good to be reminded of the future. The future world, especially at times like this in our society. And this particular chapter actually covers 10 different aspects of the coming millennium. So let's begin in Zechariah 8 and in verse 1. And again, the word of the Lord of hosts came saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor, I am zealous for her. So here we find the very beginning statement that in verse 2, thus says the Lord of hosts. That is an emphatic statement of God's authority. It will happen. Now that particular phrase, thus saith the Lord of hosts, thus says the Lord of hosts, is repeated 10 times. And after each time it is repeated, you have a specific description of the coming millennium. Here is how the Jewish Sansino commentary titles this chapter. It titles it the Decalogue of Promises. Now, in the Hebrew, the word Decalogue means 10. We know that there's the 10 commandments. But in this case, it's 10 promises. 10 promises all within one chapter. And the commentary goes on, 10 divine messages from God, each introduced with the statement, thus says the Lord of hosts. And each statement then continues with a statement of hope for the future of Jerusalem. Now, Jewish scholars recognize that this particular chapter are prophecies of the Messianic Age. They will fully admit that this has to do with something yet in the future. And so the first promise of hope is that God is zealous for Zion. He has great fervor. He has great heat or intensity, what fervor means. And he's not going to let stand that Zion had been destroyed during the tribulation that will occur. And so he's zealous for her, and he's made jealous for her. So what we're going to be doing through the Bible study is to keep our place in Zechariah, put a bookmarker there, because we'll be coming back and forth. And for each of these promises, we're going to look at a supporting scripture that supports what we see here in Zechariah. So for the first one, let's go to Joel chapter 8. Joel 2. Joel 2, beginning in verse 18. Joel 2, verse 18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine, and you'll be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. Look at verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He's given you the former rain faithfully, and he'll cause the rain to come upon you, the former and the latter rain. The threshing floor will be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And then verse 32, these are promises. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant that the Lord calls. So Zion will be restored. It will be prosperous. And Jesus Christ will be in the midst of Zion. So let's go back now to Zechariah 8, beginning in verse 3. Thus says the Lord. So this is the second promise. I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. So again, as we read in Joel, this is all future, and this is going to occur when Christ comes back. And so we find that Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, the holy mountain, meaning there will be no more lies there. Satan is the father of the liar, the father of lies, and he will be banished at that time. Truth will prevail. Jerusalem has not been known, or was not known, as a city of truth at that time, just that little small enclave where the Jews had come back from Babylon and started building the temple, rebuilding the temple. But this is yet future. So let's look at Zechariah 2. Just go back a couple of chapters. Zechariah 2 and in verse 10. Zechariah 2 and in verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations will be joined to the Lord in that day, and they'll become my people. I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. The Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land and will choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. And what we're seeing here is that one of the other reasons why Jerusalem will be called the city of truth is because Jesus Christ will be there. There will be truth coming out of Jerusalem. But there's another statement as well. It's called the Holy Mountain. And we know that according to Micah, and we won't turn there, but as a reference scripture, Micah 4, verse 1 and 2, speaks of the mountain of the Lord. And that's referring to Jesus Christ dwelling there, and it will be holy. The mountain is the Lord's government, and God's government. Christ will govern from there. And all other governments in the world will submit to Jesus Christ. Verse 4 and 5 now of Zechariah is now the third promise. In verse 4 and 5, thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women again shall sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city will be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. So is that happening today? No. There will be no fear of terror or war. And you read some of the stories of what's going on in Jerusalem today. There is fear of some terrorist attack. And that will not happen in the future. I've quoted this particular two verses a number of times at funerals to show the type of world in which a person will be resurrected into after the millennium. These are millennial scriptures, but in the second resurrection, they'll be resurrected in a world that is going to be totally different than the world that they ever lived in. And there will be peace when they are resurrected. And the old will be respected, and the young will be able to play. And no more widows will be mugged. Like my mother-in-law, a couple years ago, she was coming home, and she was mugged, knocked down, her purse stolen. And at that time, she was in her 80s. And that's not going to happen again. No more illegal drugs being sold on the street corners. And there's going to be peace in the city. Boys and girls will be able to play without any fear of random shootings. No more of the pain and suffering that so many see in the world around us. And this is a perfect picture of the future, something that is always good to be reminded of how it will be when Jesus Christ returns, what it'll be like in the millennium, and then also for those who come up in the second resurrection. Another reference scripture about this time of life is in Isaiah 32. So let's look at Isaiah 32 and in verse 17 and 18. Isaiah 32 verse 17 and 18. The work of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. So again, that's very encouraging, and God will protect his people. Okay, let's look at the fourth promise. This is in verse 6, Zechariah 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. So if it was marvelous at that time for the people of Judah, then it will be much more in the future, but it will also be marvelous to God. Now, God is looking forward to this time, and we know that God is excited for this time to come, just as we are looking forward to this time to come. We see this in Ezekiel 36. Let's look at Ezekiel 36. And there are a couple of statements here showing about that time. Ezekiel 36. Let's look at verse 8 to 10. And this is referring to the land. Ezekiel 36, verse 8 to 10. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. And he will do this because of what it says in verse 21. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned wherever the nations went, wherever they went. Therefore, thus says the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Verse 26. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll keep my judgments and do them. And you will dwell in the land I give to your fathers, and you'll be my people, and I will be your God. So he's going to give those people his Holy Spirit. They will be his spirit. And God will increase them in verse 37. Thus says the Lord God, I will let the house of Israel inquire of me and do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock of Jerusalem on its feast days. So will the ruined cities be filled with the flocks of men, and they will know that I am the Lord. So God is going to increase Israel. He's going to give peace to all the people in the cities wherever they dwell or in the land where they dwell. Of course, his name is not honored today. We know God's name is not honored. His name is taken in vain. And I would like to also caution all of us. You know, sometimes I'll see this, that someone will share a post from someone that has OMG in it. And those are initials that actually take God's name in vain. And so we got to be careful of that. I would say we need to be very careful of that. We don't believe in promoting those initials, OMG, because we don't want to take God's name in vain. At the time, people will honor God. And that is very important for all of us to do right now. And those at that time who follow God and Jesus Christ will be honoring God, and they will not be persecuted. Okay, we go now back to Zechariah, verse 7 to 8. We come to promise number 5. Promise number 5. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I'll bring them back, and they'll dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They'll be my people. I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And we saw that earlier in Ezekiel 36. But it's also referring to the time of the second Exodus, which will occur, and it will come. And we'll see where these people will come from. Let's keep our place here again in Zechariah, and let's look at a couple of scriptures in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah 10, verse 8 and 20. It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and as escaped from the house of Judah, will never again depend on those who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. And we see in verse 22, for though your people as Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant will return. In verse 23, the Lord of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of the land. And we find this in chapter 11 of Isaiah, just across the page, in verse 11. It shall come to pass at that day that the Lord will set his hand again the second time to recover his people from Assyria and Egypt, and from Pathros and Cush. Now, Pathros and Cush are areas south of Egypt, going into the territory of Ethiopia. And it says from Elam and Shinar. Now, Elam is be on the Tigris River. That is in modern-day southern Iraq today, so they'll be coming back from there, from Persia, and Hamath and the islands of the sea. And so Hamath was in the territory of the north, up near Syria, and islands of the sea are off toward the west, so they will be coming back from all of these different areas where they had been taken. So let's now go back to Zechariah, and we come now to point number 6. This is the largest of the prophecies. It encompasses a number of verses. We begin in verse 9, Zechariah 8 and verse 9. Thus says the Lord, let your hands be strong. You have been hearing in these days these words of the mouth of the prophets who spoke in the day of the foundation, when the foundation was laid, the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. For before these days there were no wages for man, nor beast, nor hire of beast. There was no peace from the enemy, for whoever came in or went out or came in. And I set all men everywhere against his neighbor, so that the temple might be rebuilt. Now, as we recall, Haggai and Zechariah were the prophets that were sent to Judah because they had not yet stopped rebuilding the temple, and for about 18 years the temple had not been rebuilt as it should have been. So there was no peace from the surrounding areas at that time, and so Haggai and Zechariah were sent to encourage them to once again rebuild the temple. So that was at that time. Now notice verse 11 to 13, 11 to 13, which is all part of this promise here, as we'll see what it is. And we go here in verse 11, but now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed will be prosperous, the vine will give its fruit, the ground will give its increase, the heavens will give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess these. It shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong. So it's going to be different in the future. And in the future, they will not have persecutions coming around from the surrounding territories. There'll be blessings that will be coming upon Judah and Israel. And the nation of Israel will be known as the one that is blessed by God. Let your hands be strong. That was for them at that time to get back to the building of the temple. It was to encourage them, but also for all of us at this time, even for us in the church, but also in the future. Let your hands be strong, because God is going to be for Israel. An interesting statement is found over here in Amos 9. Let's look at Amos 9. Amos 9, and we'll see, begin in verse 11. Amos 9, and in verse 11. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, repair its damages, I'll raise its ruins, rebuild it in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this. It's all future. Behold, the days are coming when the plowman will overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains will drip with sweet wine, and all the hills will flow to it. We're talking about a future temple that will be built. The chapters of Ezekiel 40 to 48 all talk about that future physical temple. It will be the center of worship in Jerusalem and for the entire world. So point number six, the promise to point number six is basically that God was going to help the Jewish people rebuild that temple at that time. But more importantly is that promise that there will be a future temple built. And that will happen. It will occur. Okay, let's go back now to Zechariah 8 in verse 14 to 15. We now come to the seventh promise. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent, so again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem, to the house of Judah. Do not fear. Do not fear. So God is going to be determined to bless Israel just as much as he was determined to punish them for their sins. He is determined to bless them. I mean, that's going to be a key. And we read these scriptures in, let's just look at Jeremiah 31. Because we read these scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and we see what people will come to understand. We see a great multitude coming out of the tribulation as well that will understand that God is going to save them, protect them. And that is so encouraging to keep in mind. Let's look at Jeremiah 31, now verse 27. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I'll sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man. And in verse 28, it come to pass that as I've watched over them to pluck up and throw down and destroy and afflict. I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. So we go then back to verse 16 and 17. And we see some things that that are going to take place in Israel. It's kind of interesting. There's actually four things that will take place. These are the things you shall do in verse 16. Number one, speak every man the truth to his neighbor. There will be truth. No more wondering what the facts are or spin. It will be truth. Everyone will speak the truth to his neighbor. What a world that will be. Can't wait for that to happen. Number two, will give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. This is the time it will happen. The time when God establishes his kingdom, it'll be the millennium to begin with. There will be, within the gates, there will be truth, justice, and peace. What an incredible promise. It will come. Point number three. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. No more evil or bigotry or anything that will be in one person's heart toward one another. That's when that will occur. And point number four, do not love a false oath. For all these things I hate, says the Lord. A false oath would be worshiping in an idol, worshiping in a God that doesn't exist. There's only one God that exists. And so God hates those things. And you look at this particular verse and you would say, this is what people want. This is what we all want. This is what people want. And the truth of the matter is it will happen. It will occur. It won't be brought about by men, but it will be brought about by Jesus Christ when he establishes his government over the earth at that time. The justice and peace will prevail. Israel has been, they've taken advantage of people. They've taken advantage. They've spoken evil of others. Hypocrisy and double standards will end. Think of the world where there will be no more deceptions and hatred or tyranny, no more resentment, no more cursing, no more oppression. And these are encouraging scriptures, you know, especially during times like this. Okay, let's look at then, well, first of all, this one point, I've got a few minutes here. Let's talk about the point about loving a false oath. What does that mean? Let's just go back to Jeremiah 5 and verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1 and 2. Because what does it mean about loving a false oath? Do not love a false oath. Jeremiah 5 verse 1 and 2. Run to and fro the streets of Jerusalem, see now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, I will pardon her. And they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. So they were swearing falsely. In other words, they were saying, well, God is their God, but they were not following God. They did not believe in him. Some believe that God exists, but do people really follow God the way God wants them to live? Even Jesus Christ said in Luke 6, verse 46, some will say, Lord, or why call you me Lord? Jesus said, why call you me Lord? And do not do the things I say. So when we call upon God, we need to make sure our oath is true, that we are following God and not a false oath. Notice in verse 18 and 19. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. It will be when you say, why does the Lord your God do all these things? And you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods. So you'll serve aliens in a land that is not yours. And we know that Israel will be punished because they got into idolatry. That happened back then at that time and will happen again. Notice verse 30. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed to the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? That's a question we all have to ask. What will we do? And thankfully, God is going to bring about his coming kingdom. You don't hear that too often. You don't hear that. You don't hear that the whole hope for what society is going through is what God will bring about in the coming kingdom. And that may sound, well, simplistic, but I'll tell you, that's a simple answer. As to what we've been reading today, this is what's going to happen in the future. And this is, I believe, something that we need to always focus on, is what is really going to happen. Zechariah 8 is full of, thus says the Lord. This is authoritative. It's determined. It is going to happen. Okay, let's go back to point number 8, or the 8th promise. This is in verse 18 and to 19. The Lord came to me, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the 4th month, the 5th, the fast of the 7th, the fast of the 10th, will be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah, therefore love, truth, and peace. Now, last time we looked over this in our last Bible study that we held back in April, we went through that all these fasts commemorated some sad events surrounding the destruction of Jerusalem. In the future, they'll be changed into joyful feasts. And so the sad memories of the past will be erased and forgotten. So since we covered that last time in the Bible study, we'll just skip on down to verse 20 to 22. And here we have the 9th promise. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples will come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city will say to another, let's go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations will come to seek the Lord and the hosts in Jerusalem and pray to the Lord. So those in other cities and other countries are going to come to Jerusalem and will want to come. And they will want to come and worship and pray there. It's an amazing prophecy. And then we get to verse 23 for the 10th, what we find, the 10th promise. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations will grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let's go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. The truth is going to be so precious at that time that many will want to know more from the Jewish people. And we know they're going to be dwelling in Jerusalem. It'll be obvious that God will be with them. There'll be no more anti-Semitics at that time, no more anti-Jewishness at that time. It's going to be a change for the future. The people actually go to the Jewish people and say, we want to know how we should worship God. And the Jews and the Israelites will be respected as the people of God. Now, these last two points can be supported by two other scriptures here. Let's look at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56 and in verse 6. The sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord will serve him. Will love the name of the Lord to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. Even them I'll bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. We won't turn there, but according to Isaiah 45, verse 14, some of those that will be coming into Jerusalem will be those from Egypt and those of the Sabians, which are down in the southern area of Saudi Arabia and more toward Yemen. And so even these people will be coming in to Jerusalem. And according to that verse, it'll be saying, and they will be saying, because God is with you. Similar to what we see in Zechariah. They'll be saying, because God is with you. They'll actually be saying that because God is in you. So you have all these people from all over coming in and worshiping. And then finally, one other scripture we'll look at in Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. And in verse 10. Isaiah 60, verse 10. Sons of the foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you. My wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have mercy on you. Therefore your gates will be open continually. They'll not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. The nation and kingdom which will not serve you will perish, and those nations will be utterly ruined. But the glory of Lebanon will come to you, the cypress and the pine and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Now make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those who despise you shall prostrate all the soles of their feet, and they'll call you the city of the Lord, Zion, of the Holy One of Israel. So people will come to know God, and they will worship God forever. So what is the takeaway from Zechariah 8? The takeaway is that it reminds us that there are, at least in this particular chapter, 10 absolute promises that God is going to bring about. They are verified as truth by the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." So when we do see the obvious difficulties going on in the world, and they can be depressing to see, and to see the pain and the suffering, we can have confidence. The confidence in the fact is in what God has in store for the future and for all of humanity. And so God means what he says. And that's the time we all need to be looking forward to.